Today for our sermon, we're going to begin with Fun Facts with Matt, and I want to let you know, whenever we have an episode of Fun Facts with Matt, there are always facts that are fun for me, and you're hopefully going to find them interesting, but at the very best, it will bore people to death if you start sharing them at a party. So, let's go ahead and begin Fun Facts with Matt. Now, the reason why I say that, there's certainly a few things that are been romanticized about the Christmas story and like the manger and all that stuff. And I can get into that on another Sunday, because today I want to talk about what's been confused in popular songs and miscommunicated about Epiphany and the Magi. And so, first of all, how many of you had little nativity scenes in your house? Who did that? When did you put the wise men in the nativity scene? Way too soon, right? Like, you set it up and you put the three wise men there, right? Like, it's just, that's how it's shown on the picture of the box, and so that's how you're supposed to do it. Also, I clean up all my Christmas stuff the day after Christmas Day, so when else am I going to display them, right? That's kind of how we go. Now, actually, a fun fact, again, all fun facts with Matt are only fun to Matt. At my Concordia, Nebraska, what they would do is they would have the nativity scene out leading up to the season of Christmas, and then when that happened, on like Christmas Day, suddenly the Magi would appear, but they would appear like across the lawn because they have to make the journey, right? And so like each day, and I feel sorry for whoever was in charge of that, they moved just a little bit closer to the manger scene. Because the Magi aren't there on Christmas night, and we've collapsed kind of these events into it. But Matthew's gospel, what happens is Jesus is born, then the star appears, and the Magi make their trek. Now, I've been switching between kind of like Magi and wise men and kings, and I want to talk about that even. We should not refer to them as kings or even wise men, and I know that's how the ESV translated it today. Because that's not a helpful thing. So if we talk about kings, there is a certain level of reverence that comes alongside of that. Or even if we use the word wise men certainly has a lot of reverence. That when we think of this, we're like, yeah, that's awesome that these well-respected individuals came and they came to visit Jesus. But what they are is magi. And the Greek word there, it's really hard to pronounce. It's magi, okay? And so typically what we do is we translate this Greek word into wise men. And to be fair, a magi would have been revered as wise wherever he was coming from. But in an Israel, a Jewish context, that's bad. When you look through the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the word magi shows up in a few different places. And when you look in the rest of the New Testament, you'll also find magi. It shows up in the book of Acts. And when it shows up, it is always derogatory. It's never said in any kind of positive way anywhere else in the scriptures except for Matthew chapter 2. It's the only place where it's good to be magi. The reason for that, our best guess, is that magi are actually practitioners of Zoroastrianism, which is kind of where we get our practices in, like, very far removed. It's not the same thing. But astrology kind of has some links to Zoroastrianism. And so they would have been from, like, further east, probably Persia, and they would have been professionals at looking up at the stars and divining fate from that. That the whole, even, it's interesting, even the vehicle by which they know to come to Jesus is through a false religion, right? That's interesting. That God reaches out to these magi and he brings them in. And it's really designed in the way that Matthew tells this book is that Matthew has set up this big narrative. He begins with this genealogy that does this really big deal that Jesus is the son of Abraham. He is the son of David. He is the fulfillment of all of Israel's hopes and dreams. That God is actively redeeming his world. And so get ready. Here comes the king. God with us. And the people of God should be in awe of this, and they should be ready to celebrate this, and the king of the people should be excited too. But they aren't. No one is. Israel instead abandons this king and eventually is going to serve him up to die. And Herod, the ruler who should realize that the real Son of David has come to redeem the people, to redeem all people, should be celebrating, and he should be coming to kneel at the side. And when the Magi come to Herod and they say, a king is born, the king of the Jews, Herod says, oh, excellent, could you tell me where that is? I'd like to kill him. And we have this incredible contrast that the people that you would least expect to be welcomed to God, the people you would least expect to be invited to participate in salvation, the people you would least expect to kneel down and worship the newborn king, they're the ones who are doing it. And the people you would expect, the people who should be kneeling at the side of this manger, are nowhere to be seen, and they have evil intent in their heart. And that's how Matthew begins his Gospels, with this incredible contrast of who should be worshiping the king and who actually is. And so this pejorative term, magi, these people that you would never expect, show up, and it's this great and incredible signal of what God has always been doing, that God has always been trying... I'm 80% there on the cold. Last 20% will be good. People who are not from Israel, they come, and they come and they bring these incredible gifts because they recognize this king. They come and they bring gold and frankincense and myrrh, and sometimes people will talk about how those are burial spices, and it's not. It's just really, really expensive stuff. They're not doing like really weird gifts for a child. They're just bringing stuff that recognizes this is a king, and this is this incredible king who is born. And these people who would have worshipped idols and false gods are the first people to recognize the true God born in this manger. And it signals for us and for all of history that God in Christ is welcoming all people to himself. And this is not new. This is what God has always been up to. And if you look through the Old Testament, you see that this is what the promise of God was supposed to be about all along. Unfortunately, the people of God throughout history regularly and very strongly messed that up. And so you could look back to Genesis chapter 12, the promise that was made to Abraham that he would have land and family and be a blessing to all the nations. It was never just about his family. Or you fast forward, even the Ten Commandments that are given to Moses and the people of God is so that they will live in a way that reflects the salvation they've been given and be a beacon for all people to come and worship Yahweh, the true God. Or David, that he would eventually have a son who would sit on the throne forever and there would be peace from all enemies, a peace that would cover the earth ultimately. Or you fast forward even to Solomon, that when Solomon blesses the temple, that he says this incredible prayer that the temple will be a monument to the people of all nations, that they might come and see Yahweh and pray to him, and that Yahweh would hear their prayers. And yet, time and time again, the people of God screwed this up. And so when Jesus steps into the scene, when he is just an infant, the people who worship him are magi, are the people you don't expect, because the story of welcome is growing, because all people are welcomed and invited to participate, to kneel at this, that they would experience the blessing and the love of Christ. And this serves as a reminder for us each and every day. The magi, the people you would least expect, are the ones who worshiped this king. They are invited by the creator of the universe to come and to worship, to come and experience salvation. And that you and I, when we wake up each day, we must remember that too. You and I, we do not deserve, we have not done anything to earn our salvation. You might be a good person, but you are never good enough to win salvation. We only are saved through the grace of our God who has made a promise to his creation, who has sealed that promise in the blood of Christ, who through that blood cleanses you of your sin and makes you whole. And through Christ's resurrection, promises us eternal life, promises us that we have a share in the kingdom of God, no matter what our family history is, no matter what our bloodline is or our family tree, no matter what we have done in our lives, that we are redeemed through that promise of Christ, even when we do not think that we earn it. The Creator of the universe welcomes us because of what He has done on our behalf. And importantly, this means that everyone else that we see also is invited to participate in this. Anybody that could step through the doors of this church are welcomed into the salvation of God. No matter where they come from or what they've done, they also have a place in the kingdom of God because of the love that Christ has shown for us. That this is what the Magi helps us to remember as we go about our lives. That we are saved, we are redeemed, and that everyone we meet also has an opportunity and a welcome through the blood of Christ to participate in that salvation. And so if you have someone in your life that you in your head have said, well, that person's never going to love Jesus, you don't get to make that call, because no one would ever have expected the Magi to participate in the love of God. And so whoever those people are, as you think about it and you pray about that, we pray constantly that the Holy Spirit would make himself known in the lives of all people, because God blessed the Magi and he welcomed them in love. And God blesses us and he welcomes us in love, and he will welcome them as well. And so pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to fill you with faith as he already has through the waters of your baptism, and continues to work in that faith each and every day. And pray that he would fill you with boldness, and that he would fill you with a willingness to proclaim that love and show that love to everyone that you meet, that they too might join us and the Magi and kneel before the King and worship him in his grace and love. Amen.